It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
All right, and welcome. Sunday night, 8 o'clock. It's time for episode 182 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, joined by the man of the hour, Brian. Brian, how the hell are you, my friend?
Ron, I'm doing great. It is Sunday night. It is the witching hour, as we like to call it in the biz. And when I say the biz, I mean the podcasting biz. Hoo-ah!
Nice.
Nice.
So are we?
I would say I'm doing very well. I feel like I'm going to try and talk over you as much as possible. Okay. I'm going to allow for a brief period of space where there's just silence. And as soon as I see you start to talk, I'm going to go crazy.
All right. Good to know.
This time's got to stop.
Ooh, that's a record. 1 minute, 20 seconds into the show, Ron has already cut me off. Namaste. Namaste, Ron.
All right, let's get it going with Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the Week.
Slasher.
Torture.
Ooh. Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week.
All right, drink Brian, what are you drinking this week, my friend?
Look at this lovely mug.
Ooh.
Look at this pint glass.
Where'd you get that bad boy?
I bullied a waitress into letting me walk away with it.
Wow. That is not good. Not cool. But
no, right. Hold on. Hold on. I was in a Mexican restaurant Wednesday night with a very good friend of mine.
All right.
Friend of the podcast, Dominic. And We were ordering rounds of Modelo. They brought out this lovely mug. I keep calling it a mug. It's a glass. It's a pint glass. They brought it out, Dia de los Muertos. And I said, hey, any way we can have these glasses? And she said, let me speak to my manager. And then the manager came over and said, I'm going to let you guys keep these glasses.
So you asked, that wasn't really, I don't know if that would qualify as bullying.
Well, if you had seen my face, if you had studied my demeanor, if you had felt the pressure that I was putting on, I mean, I basically had put on a Viking helmet. I had painted half my face blue. I was shirtless with a faux fur vest on.
Anyway, when you're drinking out of the glass is the most important thing.
I'm following something I had about a month ago. This is the Dreamland Session sour from our good friends over at Coney Island Brewery.
Nice.
Had this, bought a six pack, drank a couple of them. As I'm sure friends of the show are well aware, I am currently working through my inventory as I look to be placing a tap room order in the next couple of weeks, where I'll be getting nothing but lagers, pilsners, and sours.
Maybe a nice IPA, or are you staying away from the IPAs for a bit?
I want to stay away from the IPAs. I've basically been drinking IPAs for over a year. This pandemic, in the future, when people are looking back through the troubles, the tribulations that we as in humanity went through, they will look my name up and they're going to forget about the early COVID. They're going to forget about the convalescent plasma. They will forget how I was a hero. They're going to remember that I was forced to drink IPAs for 80 consecutive weeks. That's why I moved on to a sour.
How is that session sour? If I remember, it's one you like.
I fucking love sours. So that's what I'm working on.
All right.
Ron?
Yes, sir.
What are you drinking?
Ironically enough, I am bringing a sour to the table as well. Drinking local, going very holiday specific. This is from our good friends at Levante Brewing. This is from their Fruit Fetish line. This is their cranberry jam fruited sour, freshly smushed and perfectly plated. Fruit Fetish Cranberry Jam brings turkey's tangiest side dish to the glass next to your plate. This cranberry sour ale is the latest iteration of the Fruit Fetish family, blending a balanced sour with heaping helpings of cranberry, blackcurrant, blackberry, blueberry, plum, tangerine, cinnamon, allspice, nutmeg, and Brian, your favorite, lactose. That's right. With lactose. It is clocking in at a solid 6%. Look at that cranberry.
That's a pretty color.
Literally my first sip of this beer. Well, that's good. You would like this. It's sour, but not too sour. You pucker up a little bit.
I like the color.
Very, very tasty. So we'll be drinking those. We encourage you to drink along with us. It makes us seem that much more entertaining. But in the meantime, Brian, people are already claiming that Brian is drunk. Always a possibility. Last week, that was my job. This week, maybe that's you. But in the meantime, let's move on to This Week in Racism.
This Week in
Racism.
Surprisingly, not a ton of racism again this week, Brian. Maybe we have finally nipped it in the bud. Just one page of racism. So let's get right into it. The Marshall Project released a report showing that Black youths make up the majority of kids on the receiving end of police violence, and a striking number of them are girls. They looked at data for six large police departments that provided detailed demographic information on use of force incidents and found nearly 4,000 youngsters 17 and under experienced police violence from 2015 through 2020. Of those, more than 2,200 Black boys and almost 800 Black girls were involved in use of force incidents, accounting for more than 75% of the total cases. In Minnesota, Prior Lake Savage Area Schools and Savage Police are investigating a racist video posted by a student that's been shared widely on social media. Over the course of a minute, the video shows a student repeatedly making racist attacks and encouraging a student to end their life. The targeted student, Naya Sijin, a freshman at Prior Lake High School, had been bullied repeatedly by the girl who made the video and attempted suicide back in May of this year. A GoFundMe page for Naya has so far raised almost $124,000 to support her college fund. The girls' basketball team at STEM Preparatory Academy in Nashville walked off the court this week after an officiating referee reportedly called a 14-year-old player the N-word. The Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association is investigating the incident, which occurred on Wednesday night during the game against Smyrna High School. According to the Nashville Post, multiple students and parents witnessed a white male referee aggressively approach the player and call the girl a, quote, a little N-word. The incident occurs after a STEM player reacts to a hard foul. STEM Prep is calling for the referee to be permanently suspended, and social media users are demanding that the name of the official be released. The investigation into the incident is ongoing, but the TSSAA has reportedly suspended two of the STEM players and fined the school $500 after the mother of the offended player came onto the court floor. Clarence Galliard, a Black man who was stomped on by a white South Carolina police officer, will get a $650,000 payout from the city of Orangeburg. Officer David Lance Dukes was caught on body camera footage stomping Galliard in the head and yelling at him to get on the ground on July 26. The stomp caused Galliard to hit his forehead on the pavement. In a statement on Wednesday, the city said that in addition to an apology, Mr. Galliard would receive the compensation paid by the city's insurance carrier. City officials said that the city would also establish a citizens task force to provide oversight and guidance with regard to interactions between residents and the Orangeburg police. Kevin Gao, a defense attorney for the three men who killed Ahmaud Arbery, managed to outrage the general public again on Friday when he called peaceful protests led by Black clergy, quote, a public lynching. He made the comment while arguing for a mistrial over what he called undue influence by the woke mob outside the courthouse. The judge in the case turned down his request. And then finally, a judge found a white Kansas City police officer guilty with the 2019 killing of a black man on his own property. Officer Eric DeValconer was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter and armed criminal action in the fatal shooting of Cameron Lamb, who was 26 years old at the time. Evidence presented during the trial seemed to show that a gun and bullets were placed at the scene by police. This was the first time since 1942 that a white officer from Kansas was convicted of killing a black man in Kansas City. And Brian, that is This Week in Racism.
I was expecting worse this week. Usually as we get closer to the Thanksgiving Day holiday, the acts of disgusting racism seem to always tick up. I feel like this year we are not going to in that direction.
We'll see. It's early in the Thanksgiving week. We certainly have a few days, and we still have to get through Wednesday night, which, as we know, is the one of the heaviest drinking nights of the year. What are you doing the night before Thanksgiving?
Probably cleaning and maybe doing some cooking.
Okay. I didn't know if you were one of the ones that would go out and, you know, really have a banger of a time on Thanksgiving Eve.
Listen, I have at the ripe age of 46, you know, I'm at that point in my life where I don't go out on amateur nights. To me, the night to go out drinking is a random Tuesday night. If it's the night that everyone's going out, St. Patrick's Day, the day before Thanksgiving, New Year's, Ron's birthday, if that's the, you know, if the day that everybody is going out to celebrate and to get sloppy, I'm going to avoid bars. I'm going to stay in, keep it local, stay off the roads. When everybody is home, that's when I am raging.
When everybody goes left, you're going right. You're going to go opposite.
When they go low, I go high.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. Let's keep it going with Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
All right, this may sound very petty, but it's a true bother of mine that I have experienced this week multiple times. News websites that will not allow me to read the article because there is a pop-up that comes out obstructing my ability to read the article while it's telling me that I need to turn off my ad blocker or I need to sign up as a subscriber to the news website. I think you know that I am what I would consider a current events junkie. So I'm always bouncing back and forth, looking at different articles, trying to get different perspectives. And one of the things that seems to have really proliferated over the internet is those websites. And I'm not talking Pornhub, not talking Xvideos, not talking RedTube, YouPorn.
X-Hamster?
Sure, why not? I'm talking about legit, like LA Times, Boston Globe, like, and they're preventing me from reading the articles on their newspaper because they don't want to subscribe. And also, and this is where I'll admit I can, you know, some of the responsibility lays on my shoulders. I genuinely don't know how to turn off my ad blocker. There's one in my web browser that I've added. I have absolutely no idea. I've tried to turn it off for different sites, gave up a long time ago. So now it's just something that irritates me quite a bit.
Understandable. I mean, Ron? It doesn't sound too petty, but a minor, oh, no, no. Piece, if you will.
It's not as petty as being upset that you didn't get the spices you ordered in the mail. I mean, that's truly, you know, the pinnacle of pettiness.
I think you can argue that either way, but agree to disagree.
Really?
Yeah.
Janelle over here is saying that that if you go incognito on Chrome, those paywalls don't appear.
Maybe we need to
but
try
suddenly that. You know what happens when I do go incognito? Suddenly I get the Pornhubs, the X-Hamsters, the Red Tube, the X videos.
But this time's gotta stop.
Now I think you just want me to interrupt you.
Of course I do. Ron, what is grinding your gears this week?
This week, my beef this week, Brian, and this was I had this beef a couple of months back. It has come back again. My beef is with the Apple Card, I guess more specifically Goldman Sachs, since they monitor and run the Apple Card. As we know, I had some issues with trying to dispute a couple of charges on my Apple Card. They are in like they don't take care of the customer. And I did. I don't know if I told you this. I ended up closing my Apple Card over the whole situation.
No.
Okay, so
what happened this past week? Because I saw that you actually had tweeted at them.
I did. So I ended up, I closed it, but I still had like an open dispute over something we had ordered online. And it literally, like, the post office showed that whoever, you know, whatever was shipped to like somebody's address in my zip code. So like it clearly was a scam. So I get an email. This is now 2 months after the fact, stating, well, we found in the favor of the merchant that they delivered the product to you. So now you owe us this money, which first of all, I'm like, well, I don't have a card with you and I'm never paying you this money. But I reached out and I'm like, how is this possible that I could provide you this information and showed you what the post office printed out? And they're like, oh, well, we never got that. I'm like, well, I sent it to you on September 2nd. Well, we never got it. I'm like, well, I responded to your email, which is exactly what you said to do. You said to respond by September 8th. So when no one followed up, I'm like, why did it take you 2 months to then reach out to me to say you never got anything? All right. How can I email this to you? Well, I'm going to have to send you one of those emails again. I'm like, all right. So the email that didn't work, you're going to send me again. Yes. Okay. Sent it to me, responded to it, immediately got a message saying my email couldn't be delivered to them. I'm like, all right. So how are we going to do it? Well, maybe you can print it out and mail it to us. I'm sorry, should I mimeograph it as well and send it out? Literally on the phone, 45 minutes. Yeah. Ending the call with, listen, I don't care what the hell you're doing because I'm just not paying you. And then eventually I get an email that they're writing it off. But it should not take like 5 months and multiple hours on the phone to clear up an obvious scam that has been run against one of their customers. So
sure,
fuck you, Goldman Sachs. That's my message. That's my beef.
So are you trying to say right now that I have a higher Apple Card balance than you do? That you you have a zero balance with Apple Card, but I have 10th. I don't remember what I had. I got about half of what they gave you, which I thought was a real pisser because you were unemployed at the time.
I was. I got like a 10 grand line of credit, which
truly irked the shit out of me.
And another beef too. This is kind of a side beef. Is the funny thing is that I had paid off the Apple Card and I closed it, which resulted in my credit score going down.
Sure.
Which is insane.
I don't, the logic of the credit scores blows, I don't understand because I had a situation maybe a little bit over a year ago where a close family friend of mine needed to borrow a credit card of mine. They were going through a situation in their life where they did not have a credit card. They could not open up one, where they had been advised not to open up a credit card in their name. And me being the kind of person that I am, I said, here is one of my credit cards. Use it. Pay me back. I know you're good for it, but here's one of my credit cards. Go out and use it. They put five figures on it.
Oof. That's the danger you have when you're being a good friend.
The card was paid off in full prior to the bill date.
Okay.
My credit score dropped by about 40 points.
Hmm.
And it's gone back up maybe, I would say, 10 points as in the year since I paid that off. Now, that I don't understand. Like, it's one thing I get them to say, hey, listen, you know, you showed a huge use of your credit and you struggled to pay it off. And now we don't think that you're as good of a credit customer. No. I paid the card off in full immediately. Right. what else should I show that says I can handle this level of credit?
Right.
And no, my credit score dipped below 800 for the first time in years.
Wow. You know, I will brag a bit. You know what my credit score came up with when I went to get my car the other day?
Hold on. I'm going to go 812.
805.
Fuck.
Close.
I'm at 760. I'm in the 760s.
It's well.
And you didn't have a job for like 9 years. Fuck.
I don't know that it was that long.
It's as the time goes by, Ron, the length of time you were without a job will increase.
Understood. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the love.
Just being honest.
We have to talk about this week, Brian?
Well, I'm hesitant to talk COVID. We always talk COVID, but I'm going to NFL. Say,
why don't we start NFL this week? We do have some NFL stories. Should we start with Zach?
First off, I want to congratulate you for going 2-0 this week. This is week 11, Ron.
Week 11.
I want to congratulate you in your picks. I know we normally put this at the end, but a lot of people have been saying, hey, more NFL. We want you to talk more sports. Browns versus the Lions. The Browns were laying 10.5. You sat there and said, listen, I don't think the Lions are going to win. They tied last week against the Steelers, but they're definitely better than 10.5 points. Browns winning by 3. Ron goes 1-0 there. And then in the Monday night game, Bucks minus 12.5 against the Giants. This was a clear cut pick on your part, Ron. Congratulations again. 2-0 for the 11th week in a row.
I can only be, I can only congratulate myself so much because you too, my friend, went 2-0. You said, you know what? No one's going broke betting against the Jets. You took Miami minus 2.5 against New York. Miami looked a little shaky, but pulled it out 24-17. And then the Niners, 5.5-point favorites against Jacksonville. That was a blowout. San Francisco wins 30-20, keeping you perfect on the year. Congrats to you. But more importantly, who do you like going into this Thanksgiving week, week 12 in the NFL?
This coming week, I like the Texans minus 3 over the Jets. I believe the Jets are worse than the Lions. Also like 49ers minus 2.5 over the Vikings. Vikings won against the Packers today. Lightning will not strike again. There is no message in a bottle. And at the end of the day, Christina was always hotter than Brittany. 49ers minus 2.5. Book it.
All right. I'm going all NFC East this upcoming week. I'm taking the Thanksgiving game, Dallas minus 7 against the visiting Las Vegas Raiders. And then the Eagles going into MetLife Stadium. They are 3-point favorites against the New York Football Giants. I'm taking the Eagles minus 3. So bet with your head, not over it. But those are our locks of the week. Kudos, real quick, to jump back to the whole credit card discussion. Kudos to Billy, who uses his credit card to charge his Patreon membership for this wonderful show, which I believe gives you an automatic 10-point bump on your credit score. I can't say that legally, but that is just what I've heard. You know, going back to the whole credit score thing, that's another thing that, you know, have you seen the Experian commercials with John Cena, where if you pay for a certain subscription, it gives you like an automatic bump on your credit score?
No.
Like that feels wrong to me. That feels like
that is wrong.
Feels like it should be illegal. Just saying.
That should be illegal.
Anyway, sticking with the NFL.
So we are done with the NFL. Done with the NFL. Moving on. Absolutely nothing for us to see here. Everybody behaved. All the players are exemplary individuals, productive members of society. Absolutely no out. What?
Unfortunately, a former NFL running back, Zach Stacy, was caught on video brutally attacking the mother of his child. We've got some audio and video. Excuse me here.
Trigger warning. Yes. Hold on a second. Trigger warning. If you are upset watching a football player sized individual literally tossing around the mother of his child, you may want to skip ahead. This is disturbing on many levels.
All right, let's.
We are not glorifying this at all.
No.
My dick. Listen, things are way different now.
Different camera angle here.
Listen, it
you think that was okay? Listen, that was
okay. Listen, now I do not. Please, please, please.
You thought that was okay? And then you're gonna ruin a relationship and come out, I'm destructive?
Listen.
Bitch.
So that video went viral earlier this week, and then Thursday night, former Jets player was arrested in Florida and has been charged with aggravated battery and criminal mischief. His ex in the video there, Kristen Evans, asking for additional charges to be brought against him. He appeared in court on Friday. He was ordered to turn in his passport, surrender any guns, and not have any contact with the victim. He was being held in Orange County Jail with bond set at $10,150.
Fuck him, by the way.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
I mean, he appeared to be multiple in terms of being physically larger than her. Throwing her around while his child is mere feet away. Fuck him. Fuck him. You don't do that. I'm glad at, you know, if you have to look back on it, I'm glad that there were multiple cameras in that residence. Apparently somebody thought that there was a reason to record that room. I don't know if this was the reason for it. I'm certainly glad that it was recorded. I'm certainly glad that people can see that this is what this is the face of domestic abuse. Right. And that
apparently, apparently the reason the cameras were up back on August 16th, they initially had a verbal altercation. This led to an incident on September 26th, where Stacy allegedly hit Evans in the face with a handful of mail. And then back in October, Evans had filed a police report after Stacy allegedly slapped her while she was holding their son. So obviously, because of these instances, she installed these cameras to capture this most recent attack.
So when did the most recent attack occur?
Prior to this one, it was in October.
No. This one.
Oh, this one was, I believe, earlier last week.
I wanted to know, is this like in real time or was this something that took place months ago and we're just hearing about it now?
No. This is recent.
By the way, he's already out on bail.
Did he make bail? It was a pretty
It was a ludicrously low amount of bail.
$10,000 is not especially for a former NFL player. $10,000 is not a significant amount of money to have to post to get out.
I posted $10,000 bail when my ex tried to kill me.
That is very true. Now, technically, we don't know that she tried to kill you. She only threw a steak knife at your back.
You know what? Allegedly, she tried to kill me. What we do know is that she threw a steak knife at me from across the room, striking me in the back, drawing blood.
That we can confirm. What else happened this week, Brian?
What else happened, Brian?
The House of Representatives censored Representative Paul Gozer for posting an anime clip that showed him killing AOC. We were going to play the clip. It is basically a minute and a half of absolute nonsense, anime nonsense.
It is. You know what we'll do? We will we'll post a link on the website after the show. So if people have not seen it, it literally is one of those South Park mocking anime videos that Trey and Matt would pull off. But somebody has superimposed this guy's face on one of the anime characters and superimposed various Democrat faces. And the Republican congressman goes around killing all these people. It's terrible. And I don't mean morally. I mean, just like it's unwatchable. Anyone who has the amount of time to spend, it's a waste. It's not very good. It's not, it literally seems to have been created by somebody who's batshit insane. But putting more on it, the fact, I mean, the truly distressing part about it is the lack of decency from one human to another that the Republicans, and I say the Republicans because the party has not come out and really said, hey, we should not be at this level in terms of the way we think about our partners in Congress. I mean, it now has become this how do I, it's become like this battle of ideologies where you're no longer looking at the other side as human beings who had parents and lived a life and have children who want a better world. It literally has become this messaging on the part of the Republican. Now, keep in mind, I don't like the Democrats. I think the Democrats are useless as a governing party. But the fact that the Republicans are so wedded to the ideology of we are the victims and we need to stand up and fight and whatnot, when the truth of the matter is nobody fucking gives a shit about this nonsense. And the fact that instead of someone saying like, this is a terrible fucking video, you've got a congressman who's looking at it and being like, I'm going to retweet this to all my fans and this is cool. And then when someone says like, why are you encouraging the conversation of you murdering, your other people in Congress, instead of just being like, well, you know, all right, it was kind of silly. You want to, they stand as if they've been victimized with taking this moral stance of like, you know, like I need to be supported. And it's just fucking nonsense at this point.
Well, and it's, you know, it's very telling, I think, that only two Republicans voted along with the Democrats to censure Gozer, Adam Kinzinger, and Liz Cheney. The only other one that kind of broke was David Joyce, a Republican from Ohio, who voted present instead of voting either way.
In mind, these are the, sorry to cut you off, these are the same fuckers that went after Kathy Griffith 3 years ago when she was holding up a head of Donald Trump covered in blood. The Republicans went after her like the world had come to a screeching halt and this woman needed to be burned at the stake. Had they acted at that time of, yeah, this is really fucking stupid and it's, you know, somebody, you know, this is beneath you, then I understand their behavior right now.
Right.
But it literally is just this, what's good for me is good for me and I will come after you for the exact same thing. And it's just another example of how I constantly am losing respect for the people that are so-called representatives in this government.
So the censure that was passed publicly condemns Gozer, but more importantly, strips him of his seats on the Natural Resources and Oversight and Reform Committees. So he basically really doesn't serve a purpose other than just being a lockstep vote for the right wing.
This has got to stop.
And also, did you, I don't know if you saw it, prior to this happening, the Wisconsin GOP had passed a resolution that they're not going to any longer acknowledge Liz Cheney as a member of the GOP because of her continued comments against former President Trump.
Now, is she even from Wisconsin?
She's their representative.
I thought she was Wyoming.
Maybe it's Wyoming. I could have it backwards.
I don't know. You know
whatever state she's from, she's been disavowed by her GOP.
This is the part that really irks me and really upsets me, is that we have a representative government. We do not have a democracy. It is not majority rule in this country. We have a representative government. And the people who are representing us are openly not representing the American people. The American people are a moderate, middle of the road country. We are not absolute progressives. We are not right wing conservatives. We are moderate. We do. And the fact is that the two parties in this country have literally divided away from the middle and fled to the extremes, thinking that this is what.
Careful there.
Oh my God.
Did the GOP just poison you for your rhetoric?
Or maybe it was the progressives. I will never know. All right. That was my point. I'll let you go, Ron.
Understood. Understood.
I'm going to go hack up a lung.
But anyway, so what else do we have to talk about this week? Brian, if you've gotten your speaking voice back, I have a very important question for you. What are you watching?
Ooh, okay. Tiger King season 2 came out this week. 5 exciting episodes. We go back into the story of Joe Exotic, of Carol Baskins, of discarded, expired Walmart meat. We go back to the cages, back to the cats.
I'm not going to hit the song. I'm just going to wait and hear what you have to say.
I'm on the 3rd episode of the 5. Okay. I have yet to find myself entertained in any way. You know, it's amazing how a year ago, you know, granted, we were all home. We were starving for entertainment. Tiger King came out and had the country captivated. A year later, could not care less. Joe Exotic is in jail. We're now investigating the Don Lewis, who was Carol's first husband, and his disappearance. And I literally could care less about any of these people. To sit there and say that I am not about the Tiger King, I still have one Lager King,
which I'm saving. For a special occasion.
Well, I was going to save it for Tiger King 2, but this is just fucking god awful. So I'm not under any circumstances going to celebrate Tiger King season 2. It's god awful. Also, went back into Showtime for the first time in seemingly years, even though I pay for it every month, and started watching Dexter, New Blood. We go back into the story of Dexter. We have fast forwarded 10 plus years. He's now living in somewhere like in Alaska, maybe a Canada upstate under an assumed name. And the question is, will his dark passenger follow him and cause him to continue to commit murders? Spoiler alert! Yes! So I watched the first 2 episodes of the new season. Absolutely. If you like the original Dexter, I would say give it a shot. It's very similar, except that instead of taking place in Miami, it's now taking place in the Great North.
Got it. So Ron, would you recommend?
Oh, yeah, I would recommend it. Ronnie?
Yes.
Ronnie B?
Yes.
What are you watching?
Also watched the first couple episodes of Tiger King 2. And we'll back you up there. Not overly entertaining this time around.
No.
If anything, it's just a widening group of really horrible people trying to make money off of this whole situation.
Yeah.
What else? I tried watching a new docuseries on Hulu called The Curse of Von Dutch, A Brand to Die For. I remember the Von Dutch hats and clothing line and all that.
It was very popular for a very short period of time.
Yes.
When trucker hat caps really started to become popular.
Yep. Tried to get into it. The first episode was very slow. Second episode just really dragged on. It's supposed to be a murder mystery. It's only 3 episodes. I got through 1.5 and there was still no real murder. So not really sure.
So you couldn't even tell me what the fuck, why the documentary exists.
Yeah, it's I'm still not sure what the point of it is. So did not enjoy that. What else did I watch? Oh, I tried to watch King Richard on HBO Max. That's the new movie with Will Smith telling the story of Richard Williams, the father of Venus and Serena Williams. Good, but not like great.
Oh.
It was interesting, but again, you know, I don't know. It just didn't have the hook. I mean, one thing I will say.
Ron, do you think you would like that movie better if the kids were white?
I don't think that would be the case.
So it's not a racial thing, is what you're saying.
It is not a racial thing.
It's just one thing I will not say, into it.
what it reminded me of, because I've been a big tennis fan over the years, it did remind me how, you know, back when Venus first came onto the scene, because she was the one that really hit the pro circuit first, like the sports media really did everything in their power to demonize Richard Williams because of, you know, he did. I mean, he trained, he trained the girls hard. He had a goal from them from literally before birth that they were going to win Wimbledon multiple times. They were going to be professional tennis players. And they made him out to be this Svengali child abuser type individual. But, you know, I think the movie kind of shines a light onto how he was a very driven father, but the children were just as driven. And obviously, I don't think, you know, Venus is obviously a great tennis player. Serena is probably the greatest female tennis player to ever play the game. You know, they had to have some desire to get there themselves. So it was interesting from that point, kind of seeing a story that the media didn't put out back when he was first, you know, became a name when Venus became a pro.
Now, how do you think this differs from the Tiger Woods documentary, where it was another story about a child prodigy whose parents pushed them incredibly hard to become a great sports athlete? Because when I saw the preview for this movie, I sat there and said, this feels like the tennis version in a movie form of the documentary about Tiger Woods.
That was, you know, on... I think it was a little bit different in that it really did focus on, I mean, yes, it does show, you know, Serena and Venus, but it really does show, you know, Richard Williams and him literally going to every, you know, major pro coach out there trying to, you know, get them to take on his daughters to train for no cost. I mean, really, it showed his drive more than anything else.
So basically what you're saying is this is a story about two of the most dominant female tennis players that have ever lived, who came from the same household, and they made a movie about it where it's about their male parent figure.
I mean, I guess you can look at it that way. Yes.
That's what I'm hearing you say, is that instead of making it a story about the struggle and overcoming of inherent sexism and racism in the tennis world by two women, this is a movie about the man who pushed them forward.
It is.
I'm sorry, I will not subscribe to that nonsense. I will not be part of that mansplaining. No, I already used that word.
All right.
Fuck, I had a potential role there. I feel like I had the opportunity to really make a point, and I
also, on Netflix, I watched Tick, Tick, Boom, the movie about Jonathan Larson, the man who wrote the musical Rent. Kind of talking about his initial musical that he wrote and attempted to try and get made. Actually, very good. If you are a fan of The Great White Way, as we are, we're big Show Tunes fans. I would recommend it. Very well done.
And I am craving a Broadway show. It's been so long, you know.
There you go.
This pandemic has just robbed me of the ability to spend $100 on something while I sit in a seat that is way too small for my hips.
One thing very tragic that I didn't realize about Jonathan Larson is he had passed away at the age of 35 from an aortic aneurysm, literally dying the night before the first public performance of Rent. And obviously we know how big a musical that went on to be.
Was it big?
It was huge. Won 15 Tonys, I think. I mean, I think it's still running on Broadway right now.
Never heard of it. Rent?
You never Rent. Heard of Rent, the musical. I find this extremely hard to believe.
I've never heard of Rent. No, I'm unfamiliar. What's the story about?
So it is a retelling of La Boheme.
God damn it, Ron! You know I'm kidding you.
I never know with you. I never know. Oh, also, you know, I did watch the first episode of a new South Korean TV show on Netflix called Hellbound. The premise of this is
It's that if you throw this little plastic thing on the ground and you make the other person's plastic thing flip, you can kill them right then and there.
That is not quite it. It is about, so it's very supernatural. It's about how angels come and they tell somebody that you're going to die in 5 days and at a certain time, and then your soul is going to be dragged into hell. And then these creatures appear, and it's very over the top violent and everything else, only in the first episode, but very interesting so far.
Now, I believe, and I have heard of the show, I believe in the second episode, they play tug of war to the death. You know, the third episode, they have to lick these little pieces of sugar cookies that have been created in the form of a geometric
shape. There we go. So, yeah, good, interesting point from Billy. I watch a lot of TV. Are we sure he actually has a job? Listen, we are one for you. Number two, we're getting into that time of year where it's a little chilly to be outside. So it's good to be inside and watching a little TV. I'd like to say I can light a fire, but the chimney's got some issues. That actually should have been my beef of the week.
What's the issues?
The issue. Apparently, there's some cracks in the flue tiles. The guy was a little bit surprised that we hadn't had a chimney fire. You know, it was a little, yeah. So we have to get the chimney relined. Gonna be a little pricey.
That's a mighty white complaint of yours. Well, oh, there's some chips in the flue. question. When is the next Marvel thing coming out? I feel like we're overdue for like a Marvel show or a.
The first two episodes of Hawkeye come out on Disney Plus on the 24th. So that is what, Wednesday? And I would say,
wait a second, it's coming out this month on this week?
This week on Disney Plus.
And we're going to watch it and review it for next Sunday.
We can. I will have to say, and I was not excited about the Hawkeye series, but in seeing the previews, it looks like it could potentially be good. Could be very action-packed.
And if you could remind me, who's Hawkeye?
Jeremy Renner.
Incredible musician. Incredible musician. One of the greatest albums that came out in the year 2019. But who is the actual... character Hawkeye? What is the
backstory?
I shoot blanks.
Janelle asking me if I've seen Eternals. I haven't seen Eternals yet. Is that on HBO Max? I feel like
no, isn't that what they're charging extra for? I thought that was on
just in the theaters. Well, I haven't seen Eternals. Either way, I need to catch that. And as Billy points out, Spider-Man is next month. Spider-Man looks very good. So
now, is that a movie or is that a TV series?
Those are both movies.
Oh, so it's just like 2 hours and then we can move on.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, is Thanos in Eternal?
I believe he is mentioned. I don't believe he is actually in the movie, though.
And I will not watch it.
But the last 10 Rings Marvel movie, that's available on Disney Plus now.
10 Rings? What is that?
I don't know that you need to see that one.
That's the Asian one where the guy's got the rings that are like he is fisting like anuses and they like fill up his arm.
I guess you could put it that way. Yes. All right. In the meantime, I think we've gone long enough without having some COVID talk, Brian. So why don't we start off our COVID segment with our dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
Dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
Ron, can you put up a photo of Tamara Drock?
There you go.
Look at that lovely that photo. Looks like a wedding photo. They appear to be near an ocean. The sunset behind them. I would love to say that there is a happy ending for this couple. And the only way that it's happy is if this woman was able to get her hands on some ivermectin, because you're looking at Tamara Drock and her husband, Ryan. Tamara is a teacher in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida.
Go figure, Florida.
And unfortunately, Tamara was hospitalized for 12 weeks in Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center with COVID-19. Her husband actually sued the hospital in October, just a month ago, over its refusal to administer ivermectin, which has been approved by the FDA for use in treating worms in horses. Somehow, her husband, Ryan, felt that that was going to save this woman from her hospitalization and symptoms of COVID-19. The hospital refused because it's not approved by the FDA. Unfortunately, Tamara's symptoms only grew worse, passing away at the age of 47 just recently. And misinformation about ivermectin's ability to treat coronavirus infections has circulated widely online in recent months. The FDA, which I believe is still a respected organization, stated that ivermectin has not been authorized or approved for use in preventing or treating COVID-19 in humans or animals.
Lots of damage.
So now there's absolutely nothing to say that had Tamara Drach been given ivermectin, she would still be alive. What we do know is that the odds of her existence on this planet right now in a non-alive corpse would have been drastically improved had she gotten one of the vaccines, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine,
the silver,
the Moderna vaccine,
the gold standard.
Three shots, bitches. I got three shots of Moderna flowing through this body. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, Brian,
do you have a better COVID anti-vaxxer of the week?
I mean, this is an extremely sad story, Brian, that I have to share with you now. The photo you see up on the screen, those two individuals there, that is Luis Suarez and Norma Franco. They had been together, had been a couple for many years. They were finally going to make it official and get married just after Thanksgiving. But COVID-19, as always, has other plans for this couple. And instead of a wedding, family members are now planning a memorial service after both died in October. They were not vaccinated, but family says they were planning to get the shot soon. But again, had gone this entire time without being vaccinated. Suarez grew up in Puerto Rico and Chicago. He was a baseball player and later worked as an usher for the White Sox. Because he and Norma were not married yet, once they got sick, they were separated in the hospital and unable to get information or communicate with each other. Both were eventually put on life support and died a week apart. A joint funeral service has already been held. She was dressed in her white wedding gown and he in his white suit. They wore the wedding rings. They plan to exchange later this month. Their son telling people just go out and get vaccinated. Don't be worried about the side effects. Don't have a loss. Like we did. So not sure if they were quite anti-vaxxers, but just a very sad story to finish off this dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
Dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
And like you talked about booster shots, Brian, this week, the FDA has authorized both Pfizer and Moderna boosters for all adults.
Yes.
Big news. Basically, cleared the boosters for anyone 18 and older who are at least 6 months past their second shot of the two-dose vaccines.
The important part here, if you really want to think about it, is that this is an opportunity for people who got Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer to go out and get their hands on some of the greatest substance known to mankind, which is the Moderna vaccine.
The gold standard.
Damn right, that's the gold standard. So if you went out and got the bronze standard or the silver standard, this is your ability to go out there and say, I want high 90s efficacy. I want to be protected. I do not want to go to the hospital. I do not want to be featured on the Ron and Brian podcast as a dead anti-vaxxer of the week. I want to live. I want to be alive. I want to be around to watch Representative Gozer Wasn't that one of the characters in the original Ghostbusters?
That was Ghostbusters 2, Gozar the Gozarian.
Close. Scary that you would get that correct. Or you're just completely bullshitting me. And either way, Ron, I will follow you to the end of the earth. And I'm not even a flat earther. Go figure. Ron, do we have anything else? Maybe an EMT who had a crazy week?
An EMT who had a crazy week. What EMT would that be?
Oh, I believe we are talking about our good friend in the, I believe his name was, no, we don't have it. It's not in the article. Where's the article about the EMT, the paramedic who crashed his ambulance, killing the patient inside, ran out to grab an Uber after he drinking beer and smoking pot before the crash?
I don't think that they released.
Oh, we're name talking, yet. But the patient who has been identified as Wilton Thomason, age 66, did die at the scene of the crash. The paramedic driver Kevin McCorvey, 34, and a second female paramedic tried to leave the crash site right after it happened.
And in other words, I don't know that Uber is an effective getaway vehicle.
No, it's terrible
to get there.
If you are a paramedic or an EMT and you're on the job, you're driving an ambulance, don't smoke weed, don't drink, and don't drive, and don't work. Stay home.
Don't do any of those things.
If you had said to me 2 months ago, Brian, did you ever think you were going to have to sit there and tell EMT drivers not to smoke pot or get drunk while on the job? I would have said, no, Ron, I never think that that's going to be necessary.
All right. You jumped off of COVID, but I did want to discuss this one story about this couple, Richard Avazian and his wife, Marietta Terabellian, who apparently defrauded a COVID relief fund for millions of dollars. Hold on a second. They carried out a scheme to steal more than $20 million in relief funds intended for small businesses during the pandemic. So what did they decide to do? Cut off their electronic tracking bracelets, flee their California home, and leave behind their three teenage children, ages 13, 15, and 16.
Jesus.
Saying, well, we've got $20 million. Peace out. The note said, we will be together again one day. This is not a goodbye, but a brief break from each other. So this was actually back in late August, and the couple still has not been found.
Jesus. Also, thoughts and prayers. Normally I would say that facetiously. Thoughts and prayers are going out to the people of Wisconsin specifically, and I'm going to butcher this name, Waukesha, Wisconsin. There was a holiday party earlier today, a holiday parade, excuse me, when a red maroon SUV blew past police barricades, plowed into a group of people who were marching in the parade. As of right now, one person is dead, 20 are injured. Police are reporting that they expect those numbers to go higher. Thoughts and prayers go out to those people. I hope they catch the driver, and I hope they are put through the legal system in a more strenuous manner than Kyle Rittenhouse received. Even though I'm conflicted about Kyle Rittenhouse.
And why are you conflicted about Kyle Rittenhouse? We weren't going to talk about Kyle, but if you want to bring him up, let's talk.
I feel like the videos do show that he was being attacked.
Okay.
I do feel that in that moment, in that absolute clip moment, that he was defending himself. I also believe that his actions absolutely brought on the moment where he was being attacked.
You mean the fact that he left the state that he lived in and had his mother drive him to an entirely different state while carrying it seem,
yeah, yes. He was probably 20 minutes away from Kenosha, happened to have been in another state. I understand the significance you're saying of interstate travel. I get it. But I feel like he absolutely, had he stayed home that day, this would not have happened.
Exactly.
had he not decided that it would have been cool at 17 to walk around and open carry a assault rifle. Do I believe that that was absolutely making him a center of attention for the people that were protesting the police shooting that took place there? Absolutely. Do I think he has responsibility in that? Yes. Do I believe that in that moment when somebody was, one of those guys was attacking him with a, the video showed attacking him with a skateboard. Yeah. Do I believe he was defending himself? Yes. But he absolutely created the moment that made that happen. So I feel very conflicted. I also know that we have very pro-friendly gun laws in this country. So I suspected from day one that he was not going to serve any jail time.
Well, it's, you know, it's like the old saying, you know, don't bring a skateboard to a gunfight.
I also have a have gotten, oh, I just scratched my fucking laptop. I also feel like it seems to have been politicized. This seems to have become a Democrat versus Republican. I do not want to play into that argument, but it does seem like the supporters of Kyle Rittenhouse have justified his actions based on the fact that the people that he shot were not angels. And I find that really an interesting repetitive stance that a lot of people take, which is that in the moment of whatever type of criminal action is happening, the previous history of those that person, regardless of whether it is known by the people, you know, it at that time, that decides whether it was a justifiable action or not. The fact that one of these protesters was a convicted child abuser, somehow it's okay what Rittenhouse did because that's what this person had done in the past. And they only know that because after the fact, but as if Kyle Rittenhouse didn't, you know, was widely aware and that it was his job to provide justice.
Right. And that, well, and that's the narrative
that I don't understand.
That gets spun by the media at times.
I don't understand that logic that because these people were convicted of a crime previously, that it's suddenly okay for Kyle to just go on his own and just shoot these people. And I'm not saying they're good people. Right. I'm saying that what these people did is not the point. Maybe society is better that these people are dead. But what I'm saying is in that moment, this kid absolutely, in my opinion, took several steps that increased the likelihood of gunfire.
Yes, I agree.
And our legal system is not going to hold him responsible.
Well, and it also seemed like I don't want to say the judge necessarily had a bias in the case, but
say absolutely the judge had a bias in that case.
He certainly had some very unusual behavior. So, what are you saying? What are the odds are that the judge from the Rittenhouse case will be appearing at the next CPAC convention?
Oh, absolutely. But I'm going to say this to you. I did not think there was anything strange, and it was something that a lot of people seem to have seized upon. I did not think it was strange that Rittenhouse was able to help randomly select the people that were going to be determined alternates in the jury, thereby identifying the 12 jurors that were going to be. It seemed like a purely random activity, and I believe that that's way better than somebody a judge just deciding 12 people.
But I guess maybe the actual defendant, like, I get, you know, they do little ball cage to pick the jurors. You don't find it a little unusual to have the actual defendant pull the numbers?
He is on trial. I think of anybody, it should be his responsibility to say, I'm the one rolling the dice with a jury trial. Because I refused to plea bargain. Therefore, I think it should be in his hands to make that selection.
All right.
I really do believe that.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm not going to argue with you. Now, Brian, you are, if I remember from our college days, a huge Marilyn Manson fan, correct?
Huge.
So now, apparently, a new report from Rolling Stone, he's been accused of sexual abuse. Now, apparently, He had such a grip on the women he dated that he would lock them in a soundproof room in his West Hollywood apartment in his music studio there, which he referred to as the bad girls room, where he banished his girlfriends and punished them for hours over, quote, tiny perceived transgressions.
Okay. Are we saying that Marilyn Manson's a piece of shit? He is. Are we saying that, yeah, that's really where it ends. Marilyn Manson's a piece of shit. I believe he also advertised who he was. I think the stories that we are seeing come out about him of late are I hate to say it, and I'm not trying, I do not want to victim blame, because it sounds like what he did to a lot of these women was absolutely fucking terrible. But dude, did he come out and advertise that this is what he was and what he what his proclivities were? What, like, the idea that a Marilyn Manson liked to use a electric prod? I'm not shocked. If I was a woman that cared about my physical safety, would I get naked in bed with Marilyn Manson? Absolutely not.
Right.
Regardless of whether it was Antichrist superstar Marilyn Manson or Kanye West Sunday service Marilyn Manson or Brian Warner. Because let's be honest, Brian Warner really is who we're talking about.
That's very true. Very true. Well, obviously, he's got some court cases coming up regarding the accusations. So we will see how that plays out. Another good point is from Dom, just to kind of go back to the Kyle Rittenhouse. The guy from CNBC following the bus back to the hotel. Absolutely ridiculous. Just very, absolutely. Very, I mean, we'll not argue that the judge was right in banning CNBC from the courtroom at that point.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. MSNBC is just as fucking bad as Fox News.
Sure.
They are just on the other side of the spectrum. They're both propaganda. They are both opinion. And under no circumstances should they be confused with news reporting.
All right. Anything else we have? I mean, we've done a lot. We've said a lot. We've pushed
a lot, but we have a lot more to get to. Unfortunately, we're going to have to get to it during our Patreon, our After Dark, which we are going to be starting in about 23 minutes. If you are watching live right now, the podcast is going to end. We've done an hour, a little bit over an hour, actually. And one of the things that we said early on, Ron and I agreed, we were 100%. On the same page, this podcast will always be free. We are never going to charge for access to our podcast. At the same time, there are certain things that we're not necessarily comfortable putting out to the masses, things that were a little bit more personal to us. There's some types of stories that we can't talk about on YouTube. YouTube will literally shut us down. They'll demonetize us. They will shadow ban our podcast. So what do? We have gone onto Patreon. We have created an account there. Every week at 9:30 on Sundays, we do a special After Dark, we call it. It's where things get a little saucy, a little spicy. Ron drinks high alcohol content beers during the podcast. That's when loose lips start to sink ships. That's when Brian's use of this glass filled with whiskey starts to pay off.
Nice.
And also, it's a place where you can help us offset some of the costs for this podcast. Every time you see this banner pop up and scroll through the bottom of the screen, 75 cents we have to pay StreamYard. Does it get outrageous after a while? Absolutely. Do we have a workaround? No. So what do? We've created a way where people can help support the show. It's our Patreon. Go to our website, ronandbryanpodcast.com. Click the button on the upper right-hand corner where it says Become a Patron. Sign up. There are multiple levels of support. You can do $5 a month. $5 a month, literally a cup of coffee at Starbucks. Not expensive. $10 level gets you the ability to stream live. We send out the link every week. Then we do have a 15, 35, a 50. I mean, it depends how your generosity
really ramps up helps. To however much you want to give us.
We appreciate anything that people are going to do to support the show. We appreciate it. And as we are speaking now, time is ticking. We need to go prepare. One of the other things before we go that we like to do, and it's coming up not today, but a week from today, is what we like to call our After Dark Pajama Party, where we do our After Dark. We invite all of our patrons at the silver or higher level to come on and join us for the show. We play some type of game and activity. Somehow we do a once a month, we do Can You Beat Ron, where our patrons come on. And if you can beat Ron in whatever the game we are playing, you get to name the charity. We contribute $25 towards it. It is fun. It's the highlight of my After Dark month. I feel like I'm rambling, but I cannot speak about something as passionately as After Dark in any less than the manner I have just done. I appreciate anybody who opens their wallet to help support the show. Those who do not want to, I know times are tight. I know that everyone's financial situation is different. I know inflation is going up. Let's go, Brandon. And I understand that not everybody has the ability to say, I've got extra money to help support a podcast. But for those that do, for those that have chosen this podcast, I want to say thank you very much. I truly appreciate it.
All right. Yes. Thank you all for joining us. For our Patreon subscribers, we will see you in about 20 minutes. Brian, anything else before we cut on out of here?
Not at all. This was a pleasure. Episode 182 of this podcast. People said we couldn't do it. We showed them. And you know what we're going to do a week from today? 183. This train's never stopping. May slow down, nice, but it will never come to a stop. 183, 184, and so on and so on. World domination is next.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Hope you all, if you're not joining us on the Patreon, hope all of you have a happy and safe Thanksgiving, and we will see you all again next week.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again next week.